Any of you have ever experienced Christians being offered money and they replying, "May your money perish with you because you dare to buy with money the things of God when money suddenly means nothing?" How many of you have ever experienced an environment of the presence of God when who you are, what you are, does not matter? Where saints are equipped to both abound and abase. When you're enjoying and your brothers and sisters are suffering, you have mercy drops because one day it will be your turn to suffer. But the tide of God's grace lifts every boat. When Saul's turned to Paul, Osama bin Laden get saved. Enwo mi ran ni. Oluwa, Oluwa. Do you know what I'm talking about? You do. When you look at the old temple, the new temple, and you start crying because you've seen the glory of the old, the youths are rejoicing and the old men are crying because they remember the days of Solomon. How many of you have ever experienced people's life coming to Christ so many that we are short of counselors? Billy Graham crusades, when everybody forgets where which denomination they come from, and they are begging people that something is happening in the Baltimore Convention. We need counselors after church. How many of you have ever experienced a move of God where morning service is not enough? You can't wait to get back for evening service. Showers of blessings. Mercy drops. A car here, a job there. No, thank God for your job. Because I know how, you know. We are praying to get into residency. Then we get into residency. Then we get into veterans. Then we get into better and book it is Suasha. Now we want to go and sing. Now we want to go and sing to for Jesus. When the more you get, the less you want because you want just Jesus. Nothing makes sense. Where children are broken down and they are coming home with the gospel and teaching you. Because God's Spirit is showing them the things for their own generation. The same children that you have tried to taught. You have tried to taught. Okay, that you have tried to teach. When we've seen it. I wasn't a born again Christian, but I saw it happen. They call it, I found it. When I'll be standing by the wayside with a cigarette, and I will see a gentleman and a lady walk up to me, and before they open their mouth, I'll be afraid. And I'll be running from them. Because whatever was about to come out of their mouth would convict me, and I knew it. I could take on them one on one. They were not particularly strong people. I could take on it's not if it's verbal jab could, but there was something. There was just an aura about them that scared me and my friends. Showers of blessings, mercy drops all around are falling. Yes, the children can go to their church. Until we have these showers of blessings, until God helps us, let us continue to aspire for it. Please, there's a song when I first got born again. Two songs. One, I'd like us to play it. The first one is, "Who am I, Jesus, that you knew me by name? What did I ever do to be known by you? Who am I, Jesus?" The second one is this Carman song. He sang two songs. One is, he sang Lazarus Come Forth. That was very illustrative to me as a young Christian because I didn't understand all these hymns and all of these songs and these Maranatha things. I like them. But these particular two songs, I just never forgot them. The other one was America by Carman. For some reason, it just resonated with me, and it does resonate more. And I'd like us to play it before we continue from last week. Commands America, if we can just. Because I think, honestly, for where God has sent us, this song is the prayer of the saints today.
George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay. Names synonymous with the spirit of our country. Founding fathers of the USA. Over 200 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. But something happened since Jefferson called the Bible the cornerstone for American liberty, then put it in our schools as a light. Or since Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, Patrick Henry said, our country was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God in America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. James Madison said, we've staked our future and our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all our heart. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. In his farewell address, Washington said, you can't have national morality apart from religious principle, and it's true. Because right now we have nearly 150,000 kids carrying guns to these war zones we call public schools. In the 40s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum and talking. In the 90s, rape and murder are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is put God in America again. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again. Abe Lincoln said, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So when you eliminate the Word of God from the classroom and politics, you eliminate the nation that word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy and violent crime, number one in illiteracy, drug use, and divorce. Every day a new Holocaust of 5,000 unborn die, while pornography floods our streets like open sewers. America's dead and dying hand is on the threshold of the church, while the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah vex us all. When it gets to the point where people would rather come out of the closet than clean it, it's the sign that judgment of God is gonna fall. If there's ever been a time to rise up, church, it's now. And as the blood-bought saints of the living God proclaim, that it's time to sound the alarm from the church house to the White House and say, we want God in America again. I believe it's time, America, to stand up and proclaim that one nation under God is our demand. And send this evil lifestyle back to Satan where it came from. And let the word of God revive our dying land. For Jesus Christ is coming back again in all his glory, and every eye shall see him on that day. That's why a new anointing of God's power is coming on us, to boldly tell the world you must be saved. Because astrology won't save you. Your horoscope won't save you. The Bible says these things are all a farce. If you're born again, you don't need to look to the stars for your answers, because you can look to the very one who made those stars. History tells us time and time again, to live like there's no God makes you a fool. If you want to see kids live right, stop handing out condoms and start handing out the word of God in schools. The
Mercy drops all around are falling, but for the showers we pray. And may it come, may the sweet presence of the Lord come upon us. May the liberties of the sons of God be in our nations and our counties. May our generation witness the revival of souls and the majesty of Jesus, who gives free gifts, who comes to heal the brokenhearted, to set our captivities free. May the kingdom of the Lord come upon us. May we know something deeper and richer than what this world can give to us. May the kingdom of the Lord open before us in Jesus' name. May our hearts feel God and his peace dwell with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we thank you and bless you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your children and what you have been ministering to us individually. And now that we've come together, I have this momentary honor of sharing what it is that you have been showing me. Father, nobody is sufficient unto these things. Glorious Father, I pray that you speak to us, that hearts will be comforted this morning, and your grace will come upon us. We ban every activity of Satan in and around. I know Satan is sensitive to the gospel. So we say in the name of Jesus Christ, you and your demons, we take control of this environment in this moment, in Jesus' name. May the entrance of your word bring light and bring understanding to the simple, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So last week, we continued the series, remember, focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We spent some time talking about not focusing on men, but focusing on Jesus. Last week, we honed in on not focusing on culture and tradition, because all traditions and cultures are acceptable to Jesus Christ. God is the God of all mankind. And we learned last week, right, particularly the teachings from the book of from Galatians chapter 2, chapter 3 and 2. We learned that we're all sons of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no Yoruba, no Igbo, no Liberia, no Ivoria, no Jew, no Greek, or no Gentile. As written in Galatians 2:6, as we therefore have received Christ, we should walk in him with all boldness and all grace. Christ has set us free. We should be free singularly to focus on Jesus. So serve the Lord your God with all your heart. And we have been learning that. We have been particularly honing on that because we are not ignorant of Satan's distraction. Satan often comes with different kinds of distractions. He helps us at times to focus on traditions and norms, to focus on men rather than focusing on God, right? In the book of Acts chapter 20, Paul told the elders of the church that after he told them, actually weeping, if you read it, the Bible says that he was weeping. He said, I know that when I'm gone, some people with ulterior motives will come and draw disciples after themselves. But in contrast, the apostle said to the Corinthians that when we came preaching, we did not preach ourselves. He said, I decided to know nothing among you except who? He made that conscious effort. And then he wrote back by chapter 5 or thereabout in that book. He said, I hear something that disrupts me among you, that it has been about Paul or Cephas or these, about men. He said, what? What? Don't you people know what you're doing? Who are we? We are nobody. We are just ministers by which you believe, as God gives to every minister. He said, it is not he that waters, it's not he that plants that matters, but it's the one who does, gives the increase. He said, as a master builder, the Lord has given me the expertise to lay the foundation, and there's no other foundation that can be laid except for Jesus Christ. But you now, be careful how you build. Because if you build with gold and silver, it will stand. But if you precious stones, it will stand. But if you build with hay, then time will test it. And what we're seeing is that a lot of spiritual foundations that are built with hay, time has tested it, and it's burning up in front of us, just like the apostle said. So we've begun to teach, refocusing on Jesus. There used to be a time in Christianity that the saints, what every saint knew, who every saint knew was Jesus. Every doctrine was Jesus. Have you noticed Christianity was a great deal? There was more integrity way back then. There was more focus, more joy, because it is Jesus who brings joy. And we've been praying that the Lord deliver us from religion so that our religion is who? Our religion is Jesus. Our religion is Jesus, and he's sufficient to be our religion. So we've been learning that, and we've been honing on that. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21, we learn about two covenants. One covenant is of bondage, according to the apostles. We pointed it out last week from Mount Sinai, and the covenant from above. So one represents the earthly Jerusalem, the other the heavenly ones. One is in bondage, the other is free. And the apostle said, we are children of the free covenant, the new Jerusalem that comes from above. We rounded up last week by talking incident, and I want to make a clarification about the old. Last week, we did not say, do not read the Old Testament. I think everybody, I hope you all heard me right. I'm going to repeat. I said that you will have a better understanding of the Old Testament if you understand the interpretations of it that Jesus has given us in the New Testament. So I said in the scope and focus of our current teaching that focus on Jesus, I expect and I pray that every believer will know every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He said, man shall not what? Live by just bread, but shall live by what? Every word that proceeds. He said, if my word abide in you, then I and my Father will come and dwell in you. So I challenged every Christian to be very familiar with our Messiah. In fact, I think I used to joke that you should know what Jesus says about coughing, eating, drinking, partying. And guess what? If you read, again, I did not say, and we do not teach in the, in fact, the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 says, all of scriptures are inspired by God and they are profitable. Every single word of the prophets and the law, they come from the Lord. Right? So, in contrast, what I was saying, and I'll give you a personal testimony to back it up. When I first got born again, I will go into a Bible study and I'll be confused and impressed. How do these people know that Peter was hanged upside down, for instance? And people will tell stories. And one day I went to meet one of the brothers. I said, everything you said, because I was interested in learning about Jesus. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. I wanted to know everything about Jesus. And I said to him, we had Gideon International back in the days. Who knows what those in Gideon International were? They're little nuggets, little books. But as little as they were, like my wallet, a little bigger, they contained everything. So I went to one, after one of those harrowing Bible studies, I went to one of the brothers and I said, you mean everything you're teaching that anybody since the foundation of the world taught about Jesus is here? I said, yes. So everything you're talking about is here. And the sister said, yes. So you mean if I read this thing, I will literally know every word that Jesus ever spoke? And she said, yeah, 99%. And I went back home and I started reading. And by the time I was done reading, I remember I would sit in a Bible study. I would hear a tape. It used to be a lot of tapes there. Say, but Jesus didn't say that. You might need to explain to me better. But I was able to say Jesus said that. In fact, we started teaching the New Testament, no, the Bible, reading through the Bible for 8 years. I gathered all my friends here in Maryland, all of my friends. For 8 years after Sunday evening, based on that question, I went visiting one of my friends one day and he said, Jesus said something. I said, I understand what you said, but Jesus never said that. He said, how can you say Jesus never said that? I said, Jesus did not say it. So the friend, because we were in another friend's house, he now said, okay. I said, okay, you go and find where Jesus said that in the Bible. I will go and cross-check. Then we'll meet in this place next Sunday. And we'll see, you must show me where Jesus came, said it. So the following Sunday, I went back to visit the friend. We met there. And he came, he went, yeah, really, maybe I should go on and yeah. And lo and behold, Christ did not say. Then he said to me, now, why don't we get together every Sunday to examine the things that Jesus taught? That was how an evening service for 8 years began. Different families. They brought their children. We ate from house to house, dividing the word of God. People from different churches for 8 years. We went through some books of the Old Testament, every book of the New Testament, maybe except Revelation. That was a little hard. We Christians must commend to you Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. If you don't know anything, like Paul, know Jesus and him being crucified. We must banish. Satan has a way. Remember when Satan came to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4? He tried to trick him. And he does it all the time. He will come with a scripture, then he will add a little bit of his own. For it is written, right? He shall protect you, will not dash your foot against the rock. And he was trying to, he didn't know that he was talking to the author of all scriptures. He missed it because Christ was familiar. How did this trouble start from me and you? Satan went to our mother. He said, did the Lord not say that you must not eat from any fruit? He tried it. That did not work. Because our mother was familiar with what Christ said. He said, no. The Lord did not say that. What he said is that this one in the middle of the... So he had to try another trick. Say, yes, but this is not really what God meant. He first tried to deceive with the letter. Literally. It didn't work. Then he went with interpretation. The problem that our mother had, that Christ would obviously never had, was that not only did Jesus understand what was written, he also understood what was meant. Our mother did not understand. So our mother took her interpretation from Satan. May the Lord, by his Spirit, enlighten us. So that was where we stopped, commending ourselves. My sole purpose is not to commend one book against another. I frankly don't care where you find Jesus, just find Jesus. And there's Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. I gave my personal counsel and it has worked for me. You see, you know what the word rabbi means? Teacher. Who is our teacher? In fact, Jesus said, call no man teacher because only one is your teacher, me. Some people have a good understanding of a subject today based on who taught them that subject. We all have the same textbook, but we all have different teachers. If you have an excellent teacher, you will have an excellent understanding. Please tell me, which teacher is more excellent than Jesus? Anytime I read, whether in the old or in the new, I don't understand. Here's a question I always ask, and I always tell the people that God gives me the grace to mentor in Christ. I'll say, what did Jesus say about that topic? Once you can say what Jesus said, don't worry about the rest. That's what it means. It is important who teaches you. There's a man in the New Testament, he's called the apostle to the Gentiles. God chose him. Jesus chose him deliberately. He was an expert in the law. What's his name? This man wrote profusely more than any other person about the law and the interpretation of the law and the prophets. Because that was his background. He was a rabbi, an expert. And guess what? He was my brother and your brother. And he loved Jesus. If I'm to pick a rabbi, someone to guide me through the old, guess who I will pick as number one? Paul. Anointed by Jesus to do. In fact, he said he was anointed as an apostle to the who? To people like you and I, he is our rabbi. Well, our junior rabbi. The Holy Spirit being the ultimate interpreter to all of us. So that was what we were talking about last week. We were saying that we have, don't ignore. And I used the illustration, I used cheat sheet. I made a confession last week. I said, we have a textbook called the whole Bible. I did not say we did not have the Old Testament. I said, we have a textbook. That textbook is the whole Bible.
I use the example of a textbook in a subject. It contains all the essential material for that course. By my exam, it's difficult to understand. What go to share? I'll be negotiating. I use what are my textbook? Lambertan something in those days. Lambertan what? Stone Your Cousin and your dad's book. That delicate thing, that book, geography that your dad wrote too. Those things are difficult to understand, right? Honestly, I'm not. I don't know about you. I know there are ficus. Sorry, there are some people that are geniuses, and we know them. But I don't have that talent. When exam is coming, I'm shaking. I love to understand, but I can't absorb all of those. So the teachers will give us notes. You know, in those days they would dictate. I don't know how many. In those days, where are you people? You have dictation, now you must write it. So after class, you must get together during your preps, right? And say, we're dictating social study. So the teacher will have the, and then we'll be dictating. During exam, what did you read for the exam? You reference the textbook, but what did you read? The teacher's dictation. So I call those cheat sheets. And I said, the cheat sheet is a dictation for us to understanding the whole Bible. Romoke and Mitun walked up to me and they said to me, after they said, so do you mean that we should first read the New Testament and then before we go on? I said, I really frankly don't care which one you read first. All I'm saying is that the New Testament will give you certain clues on how to understand the Old Testament and interpret it. And I pointed out one example of certain things, and that's all we're going to do. We're just going to do clarity. Well, we have 2 minutes to go. Sister Shadi says she doesn't like when I rush and close sermons, but that's fine. We have time. But I think we need to go through so that we have a mutual understanding from last week, right? And I said, this is so important. It's so important because we need to understand the scripture. And I gave one example of something you would never have understood if not for Jesus and his apostles. The story of Hagar and Sarah. We always read it from a sentimental perspective, or we read it from a national perspective, nationhood. One nation is the Arabs, the other is the Jews, right? As though, and the funny thing about us Gentiles is that we're not of the Abrahamic nature. All of these things we glory in, it excludes us. I didn't see any Oruaga story in the Old Testament, right? I didn't see Oduduwa in the Old Testament, right? So, I mean, I know my history, and I hope some of you know Jewish history more than you know your own history, as though we just fell from an apple tree. But thank God, we all have history, right? And I showed an example that Paul gave us in Galatians chapter 4, when he showed us that when the Lord talks about covenants, when the Lord talks about Sarah and Hagar, we see people. No, he see promises. That thing is wider than the story of two women. It's wider than the physical descendants of Abraham. Paul showed us in that narrative that was talking about two covenants. Not just two people, but two covenants. There's no how you will know that. You could get a glimpse through the prophets, but even the prophets, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, did not understand the timing and some of the things they were given. Because it wasn't revealed to them. Luke chapter 24, on the way to Emmaus, the Bible says that he opened their eyes before they could, and he was talking to the disciples. Some of them come from the Judeo-Christian background. But in around verse 44, 45, the Bible says the Lord had to open their eyes for them to be able to understand. These things are not easy to understand because they were covered with a veil. On the day when Jesus resurrected, the access to the holies of holies was rent open. That was when the secrets of the kingdom became open to all of mankind. Before then, it was only a few people. In Galatians chapter 4, we'll end soon. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul began to explain that you people think God was talking about a woman who has died, maybe who knows how many thousand years ago, an Ishmael. That since his bones are since rotted, his bones are waiting for resurrection. Right? Said, no, God is not a God of the dead. He was talking about two promises, sorry, two covenants. One from Mount Sinai, which is still in bondage. And that is the relevancy of prophecy to you and I. If not, prophecy will be arcane. What have I got to do with Abraham, for goodness sake? If not, that through the seed of Abraham, by the revelation of the prophets, I stand today. It becomes relevant to me. If not, the blessings of Abraham will only have been for Jacob and for the 12 tribes of Israel. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ, in which the Lord by revelation, and Paul taught us this, that by thy seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so Yorubas are saved. Ivorians are saved. Hausas are saved. Igbos are saved today through Abraham. But this we only got to know because of our Lord Jesus. I said that the second covenant is the one that is free. He said it's the Jerusalem the Jerusalem from Mount Sinai. You know what came from Mount Sinai? The law. You know that? He said they are till today in bondage. You can see it on TV. Israel tries to be at rest, but there's war. Always war. Always war. Always war. There are supernatural forces at work here. But God will come and set free in his time. He will set free his people as he has set free the whole of the world in Jesus' name, in his timing. But he talks about the new Jerusalem. He said it comes from above. And he said that Jerusalem in Galatians 4 is the mother of us all. We thought we were reading about two women. Did you know, aside from the revelation of Paul, that you were reading about two covenants? Then what mean? Hey, Damiloni. All scriptures are given by God. They are profitable for instruction for it. And that's just one example. What did I say now? Sister Buki, nothing. Jeremiah chapter 10, please write this down. Well, 31 to 34. The Lord said there, that behold, is going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not after the ones that their fathers could not keep. This is the covenant which I'll make with the house of Israel. Behold, I'm going to write their laws, my laws upon their hearts. No longer will a man need to say to his neighbor, know ye the Lord, because he will all know me from the youngest to the oldest. And then he went on in that same chapter. He said, that covenant will never fail. He said, unless the ordinance, it's only if the ordinance of the sun and the moon fails, that covenant will fail. Until today, the covenant that he has made with the sons of Israel has never and will never fail. But guess what again? Guess what again? You're going to need Paul to explain to you in the book of Galatians what God means by Israel. Because since then, the Lord has expanded. He has broken down the wall of enmity between people. Jesus has not come to bring division. He has come to bring unity. Joy to the world. Peace to the world. And joy from God. And how did that angel announce the birth of Jesus? Peace. Can you come? I come with you with gladness. Peace to the world. In short, we know how we greet ourselves in Christmas. Jesus Christ has come to bring peace to all men. Now, there's something known as progressive revelation. The prophets wrote and they understood something. But Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit through the apostles give us a fuller understanding of it. And now today, we see how God's blessing is spread through Israel to all of mankind. And when Jesus comes, who will he come for? He comes for all of mankind. As we close, this is what God is called the good news. If not, the good news would not have been good news. Before Jesus, good news was not for you and I. The Bible says that we were enemies of God. We were cut off from the commonwealth of Christ. Cut off, but for Jesus Christ. If Jesus had not come, they would. If I said we had no hope in the world. Blessed be the Lord for his revelation to all of us. So I come today, and we're going to continue next week to say, yes, people, let us look to Jesus. Hebrews 12, the author and the finisher. My goal, I wrote this down so that I will not misspeak. Listen. As Christians, I hope that every Christian is enamored with Jesus. It means I hope we love Jesus. That's my singular goal. I hope we love Jesus. I hope the little children will know Jesus. I hope the women will know Jesus. I hope the men, we will go back to a Christian tradition where the knowledge of Jesus defines everything. The Lord Jesus makes the prophecies and the prophets, as well as the laws and his practices. These laws and practices are holy, but Jesus makes them clear. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, even the prophecies that were not clear to the prophets, Jesus our Lord made them clear. I'll give one last example and then we'll close. Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to read the whole thing. I'd like you to read it at home. What does Matthew chapter 5 start with, brothers and sisters? No, don't. People, don't go there. Who remembers? Thank you very much. The Sermon on the Mount. What does it start with? Beatitudes, right? Blessings and blessings. And then it went on to describing believers. We are the salt of the world. So we're going to skip all of that. From verse 14, my New King James Bible translates as Jesus fulfills the law. And the Lord began to do. And this is why I always say, people, the arms of Jesus is wide open. Go to Rabbi. When you open scriptures, I want you to determine to know nothing from from the scriptures except Jesus. Everywhere you open in the Bible, start looking for Jesus there. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is the lover of our soul. Jesus shed his blood for us. The Bible says knowledge will puff up, but love will edify. Jesus is love. All there was before Christ was knowledge. It caused canter. But when you focus on Jesus Christ and his spirit, he will give his spirit to you. You will find the life that is supposed to be in scriptures. Here's how Jesus began to talk about the law. He said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill it. Heaven and earth will not pass away, and one jot and one tittle will not pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. I'm reading from verse 13. So whoever breaks, right, one of the least of the commandments or teaches men to do so, the same will be the least in the kingdom. This is how grave it is. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of God. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God. Is that settled with all of us? Jesus has not come to tell us to break the law or to ignore the law. Right? This is the teachings of Jesus. Verse 21. Then the Lord Jesus began to do something curious from verse 21. He began to explain the intent and the meaning and the fulfillment of the law. Remember, because every time we talk about Jesus, even in the Old Testament, once you talk about Jesus, guess what happens? People get angry. They start saying, you must hate Moses. They say, oh, you must be hating on Abraham. You can talk about anything. They don't have a problem with it. But when Jesus begins to teach about himself, the hate starts. They will find a way to pollute his intent. They'll say, you must be hating on Moses. You say this, but Moses said they want to cause a fight between Jesus and Moses. It happens all the time. And when will we know that this is a distraction of Satan? Anytime the apostles begin to talk about Jesus, in the book of Acts, Paul went to Jerusalem. You know what the elders first told Paul? After he told them the miracles, the gospel, the people that were born again, and all the nice stuff during his missionary trip. You know what they told him? Hey, well done, Oga. Thank you. Welcome back. Yeah, we really like what you just said. But not. There are Jewish believers here, and they have heard that you went all over the place preaching against the law and the prophets. We want you to please show them that this is not what you are doing. So we have a few men that are separated to be consecrated. take them and do the consecration, pay for their own consecration, then go and purify yourself so that it will become to the Jews that you are not against Jews. That was what the elders in Jerusalem told him. What happened to Paul? Who knows? He did everything. Oh my goodness, they almost killed him. He did not appease the people. Because Jesus will always be a stumbling block. Anytime you go, those of you that go out for evangelism, if you say God is good, God is great, God loves you, God, do the people fight you? The moment you say Jesus Christ, what happens? Hey, exclusivity, religious, these, they will abuse you. He's the rock of offense. He will continue to be the rock of offense. There's always been a problem. And Satan is finding a way to intimidate us Christians, not to exalt. Biola said something to me last week. She said, So isn't it curious? He said, if you tell a Muslim that listen only to Muhammad, he won't fight you. You'll be very happy. Right? Am I correct? In fact, if you dare say something bad about Muhammad, they will kill you. He said, if you tell a Buddhist that Buddha is the authoritative voice and authority, as a Buddhist will not fight. If you tell an Ifa worshiper that she didn't have this, I don't know if she knows about Ifa or not. But if you tell an Ifa that Ifa is the ultimate oracle, they say, Orumila Agbel, you know? He said, why is it that even if you are not saying it, once you say to Christians, listen only to Jesus, why does it cause quarrel? Shouldn't it cause you to, aren't we called Christians, followers of Jesus? And someone is saying, listen to your primary prophet. So why should it cause, why does it cause quarrel in the Bible? It causes quarrel today. So it seems to me that that should not be a cause, for, even if it's a cause for concern. It's not, there cannot be anything ugly about saying, go and learn exclusively about Jesus Christ. And I said to her, because it's Satan. Satan fights anything that's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The only sermon in the New Testament is, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection of the life and life. I am the good shepherd. Our sermon is Jesus. Our Savior is Jesus. Our message is Jesus. Our prophet is Jesus. Our life is Jesus. And that is the rock of offense. Are you ready to pick up that rock of offense? Satan has intimidated some of us to minister the good news without naming Jesus. Jesus loves you. Come to church. Come to church. When last were you in church? Good news, Neo. More evangelize, Neo. More evangelize, Nibishe. God loves you. Shebon she evangelize, Neo. Hey, one bear now. Sorry. I'm sorry, guys. Was that how we were evangelized? Someone shook their heart when Jesus died on the cross. Repent. Abi, didn't they? Look, if you had not choked my dead heart with Jesus and the cross, I would never have been born again. Never. It was Jesus that hooked my heart. And a message of God without Jesus in it is not a message of God. God did not call us to religion and knowledge and Bible knowledge and head knowledge. He called us to the worship of his son. I'm closing. And I'm summarizing. Chapter 5, Matthew. If not for Jesus, how will we know that murder is not until you killed a person? Moses and the prophets did not tell us that when we think bad things in our heart, we had already committed murder. Did Moses tell us that? Show me where Moses told you that. Show me where the prophets told us that. If not for Jesus, how would we know? That's when you think. How will we know that it's not until you commit adultery physically that you've committed it? If not for Jesus. Jesus first started this sermon by saying, I'm not quarreling with Moses' people. Moses is my boy. Before Abraham, I am. I sent them to do what they're doing. But listen to me. Listen to me. I'm the one that consecrated. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible says that the same God who once, a long time ago, spoke to us through his prophet, in these last days has begun to talk to us by his son, Jesus Christ. The God who spoke to us through the prophet, in the last days has begun to talk to us True. But Jesus said, but you will not listen to me. In John chapter 1, around verse 16, 17, if I'm correct, he says that the law we got through Moses, but grace and peace we get through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of its fullness we have received from grace to grace, from the law. Then he concluded by saying, for the law came through Moses, but grace and peace. What do you want? Do you want law or you want grace? Do you want Torah or you want grace? There's grace in Torah, but Jesus needs to open your eyes before you can see it. How will we know that marriage is sacred? That you can't just say to a woman, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and that's it. They came to, they said, Jesus, the law allowed us to do this. And Jesus said, oh, well, you did not understand the intention of God from the beginning, because God who made them man and wife. So anybody who institutes divorce is against me. It took Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees, the prophets did not know this. Jesus, who has the authority to, has revealed the intent to you and I. Marriage is sacred. Verse 31. How about taking an oath? In the Old Testament, when you take an oath, it was the end of all ordeal. But Jesus said, behold, look, I'm changing that. Do not even swear an oath at all. He said, anything other than I promise or I will, he said, it's of the devil. There's nowhere in the old that you will read that. Brethren, how will you know that when a chicken breaks your egg, when a chicken pours away your medicine, that you are not allowed to break the egg of the chicken? Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's flying over some people's head there. I see the OGs there are smiling. They understand that. She doesn't. Oh, you don't know? A tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. That was the standard. It was Jesus that said, no, 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 no. That's not the intention of God. I know what your prophets told you. I know what Moses told you. But now I say unto you, be kind to people who are wicked. Some of us are still stuck in the old ways. Only by the revelation of Jesus would you have known that. How would we ever know? There are glimpses of the psalm that tell you to love your enemies. But majority of the Old Testament says to us that may their children be dashed upon a rock. And people still use it to abuse us till today. They don't know that Jesus came and changed all of that. He clarified it. He said, now love your enemies. Pray for those who despisefully choose you. I hope at the end of this sermon, you will look at this little book and you will know that it's your life. This whole book, right? I recommend, that's my method. You can use another one. In fact, let me show you. Anything that is in red in your Bible, please know it. When you know it, as you read the black letter words, many things will make sense to you. Because what is hidden before has been revealed by Jesus Christ. May he help us. May he give us the zeal. I pray that the passion you have to read your Bible is not because you are looking for a promise there, or you are looking, it's because you are looking to know Jesus, that we may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If peradventure, we also will be able to arise, or rather be part of that resurrection with him. May we be in Jesus' name. Love Jesus. Whether you are suffering today or not, Jesus will make all things good. He's a man. He's a friend that is closer than a brother. We have to return to Christianity. Christianity is a love relationship with Jesus as Savior. That's what it used to be. It never used to be about coming to church. It used to be about, it was the love for Jesus that made us come to church. It was the love for Jesus that made some of us leave our homes and old friends, and we made new Christian friends. And we were deliberately looking for friends that love Jesus. It is Jesus that binds us together. It's Jesus that unites us. I pray that as we go out this week, you will live for his glory. Because one day, my best, that Job passage, my best verse in the Bible, I know that my Redeemer lives. It might not look like it now, but one day we will see it with our eyes. In our flesh, we will see him. With my korokoro eyes, I used to interpret that in Yoruba to myself. With my korokoro eyes, Job said, I will see him and not another pair of eyes. Jesus will come. You and I will see him. He will wipe away all of our tears. And the people who suffer the most, I have to tell you, is a myth that Christians enjoy. It's a myth. In fact, one hallmark that you are doing something right in your life is that you are carrying unusual crosses. Crosses that will make people say, and you say you're a child, where is your God? Our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, he saved others. Why can't you save? He said, my Lord, my Father, why have you forsaken me? So when you find, don't give up. Don't relent. Don't change your theology. Hang on to Jesus. Hang on, because those who endure to the end, they will be saved. It's not an easy way. Not an easy road that we're following. That's why Jesus said, few there are who will hang in there. But with the truth, knowing the truth, you are going to be able to hang on. Hang on to, don't let the world take Jesus. Don't let the world, he said, as you have received Jesus, stay, remain in him. Don't change anything. Remember, you are much happier when you were a simple Christian that knew nothing, but Jesus loves me. And then as the theology piled in, the emptiness came into your heart. Understanding took peace from you. Pray that the eye of your understanding will be enlightened. And you will know together with all the saints, the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. And you'll be filled with the fullness of God. And but that verse says that Christ will dwell in your heart in love. And being rooted and grounded in faith, you will know. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, first, is there any questions? I want to make sure we leave today. Any questions? Be bold. Because I want us to start next week, topic, on the same page. Be bold.
It's just a question about being about Peter being okay about Peter being the apostles to the Jews and Paul to the Gentiles. So the question is, I hear people make it sound as though, okay, Paul is the apostle assigned to the Gentiles and so anything that was said, okay. And so anything that was said, this is an argument that I've heard before, and I don't want to hold church. I have to go. So that anything that has said, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Officially, that's fine. Yeah. So okay. We'll continue this off session discussion. Okay. But we have to answer this.
Yeah.
Everybody that has a question, let us search scriptures and answer it together so that we're all on the same page. Right, go ahead.
Yeah, so it sounds almost, and there are people walking around believing that, oh, okay, anything that Jesus said, he said to the Jews, and that was, you know, Peter and Jesus, and so anything that's said by Paul is for the Gentiles, you know?
Let's settle that once and for all, right? Let's just settle that once and for all. To Peter, to Jesus, to Paul, that was not an issue. Whoever said that lied. You know why I say that? I just went, number one, the first person that preached the gospel to the Gentile was who? So that, so you know, we now know that that's not true, right? Then number two, with Paul, right? What the Bible meant when he said that Paul was the apostle to the Gentile was that his ministry, he was sent with the same message, not a different message. He was sent with the same message to the Gentiles, right? Sister Kemi may be the pastor to the youth. You may be the pastor to the women. Abby, two constituencies. Are you preaching different messages? We don't disagree in what you preach. Not only that, Paul, Peter validated Paul. He said, our dear brother Paul, the man is academic. So many of the things he has to say, they are not easy to understand. And Here's what Peter said. He says, some people will take what Paul teaches and misrepresent it and wrest it to their own destruction. But he says, it's not unique to Paul's writing. They did the same writing. And they tried to cause fight between Moses and Jesus. Right? But he said, Peter said, no, that's not the case. All these apostles were moving in the spirit of the Lord. They are not deep. It is Satan that puts in people's spirit to introduce fight. Paul settled it in his letter to the Corinthians. He said, Paul plants, Apollo waters, Jesus gives the increase. It is not about Paul. It is not about Peter. He said, we are mere people. It is about who? Jesus, who gives the increase. So whoever says that does not understand. And I said something to a group of men last week. I said, you know, I don't just listen to a question. And my Lord Jesus taught me that as well. Do you know you'll be answering a question, asking a question, but Jesus will be answering the question you planned to, your intentions of your heart is what you'll be answering with. So most times these questions do not come from people who are ready to learn. They come from people who are ready to sow deep. They are just looking for arguments, left, right, and center. And we are not going to be preoccupied with arguments. We will face Jesus. There's no, the Bible does not teach that. It doesn't, in fact, the Bible does, sorry, I'm going on and on. Many times they wanted to make it about Paul, didn't they? Remember the story in Acts about his missionary journey? They were Zeus, or what's the name? And then they wanted Barnabas to be something. What did those apostles do? Are you kidding me? This is not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And according to that Christian myth, the Peter that they are talking about, he said, I'm not preaching my own message. Christian history tells us that when they wanted to crucify, I don't normally cite because I don't know whether it's true or not. He said, hang me upside down. That's to demonstrate that we're mere servants of Jesus. We try to make it about men, but real Christians don't make it about men. You can never read Paul. You can never read Peter, and you go away thinking I've read Paul. When you read Paul, you go away thinking I've read about Jesus. When you read Peter, you go away thinking I've read about Peter, and I want to give all of you one free gift. If you attend a sermon, and what you walk away with is, this is such a great man, a great preacher, you haven't heard a sermon from God. When you listen to a sermon, and what you walk away with saying, oh, how great thou art, O Lord, great is thy revelation and thy grace and truth, that's when you know you've heard from the Holy Spirit. Be very careful. If you walk away from a sermon, no matter how good, and it's the majesty, the exposition of the man that you walk away with, be very careful. That's, can you call disguised as an angel of death? Right, Satan. Every one of these apostles, every message they preached, people walked away thinking, glory be to God, because it was never about them. So, Sister Tola, does that answer that question?
Yeah, it does.
It is not a quarrel in the Bible. It's not a quarrel with us. It's a quarrel with the enemies of Christianity. It's the quarrel and the argument of Satan when he went to Eve and he made it about Adam and Eve rather than about God. He does it all the time. When Satan went in the time, in the sojourn of Christ on earth, he tried to make it about Jesus on earth. Remember, in his temptation, about hunger, about things. But Jesus said, just kept referring to the Father. Just kept referring to the Father. True Christians don't talk about themselves. Who is Paul? Who is Peter? Who is Peter? Who is Paul? They are men like you. God can use you. That's what they told us. But to God be the glory. Great things that he's done. Not weary you anymore. Let us pray. Lord, help us to go away magnifying you. I remember that prayer in the book of Ephesians that says the eye of understanding being enlightened, we'll be able to know what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Lord, there are many issues in our heart, but the hunger for your kingdom is within us. Lord Jesus, you are so beautiful, and I pray that your beauty will appear to the children, the women, the men, and to me. Please speak to us. Do not hide your face anymore. If it's unbelief that is not making us encounter you as well as we should, Jesus, please remove it. You are so much more beautiful than this. The word says, "Lovest thou me more than this." Give us the grace to love you. Remove every single distraction from us, O Lord. Please remove it. Help us to just love you purely, because such people will love you appearing. We adore you. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise for the grace. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord go with us this week.